This episode of The Deep Dive is brought to you by Wadadley Solar LLC, making sure your solar investment actually pays you back.
Let's start with a thought experiment. I want you to just look around the room you're in right now.
Right.
Look at the lights, your computer, maybe there's a coffee maker humming in the corner. We treat electricity like air. It's just, it's there. It's invisible.
Until it isn't.
Exactly. Until a storm hits or a transformer blows, and suddenly that invisible force is the only thing you can think about. For most of us, the grid is a backdrop.
Right.
But what happens if the grid isn't just unreliable? I mean, what if it's barely there at all?
That is a terrifying thought for most people today. But for the subject of our deep dive, that was just Tuesday. We are looking at a story that completely flips the script on how we view energy.
How so?
Well, usually when we talk about solar power, we're really talking about financial products. It's about lowering your bill, getting tax credits, the ROI.
Right. It's a spreadsheet calculation.
Precisely. But today we are talking about survival. We are talking about true energy independence. And to do that, we are analyzing the career and really the background of Alexis Lewis. Now, that's a name a lot of our listeners in the New York area might recognize. Alexis has been a real heavy hitter in the NYC commercial solar scene for over 5 years. We're talking big projects.
Huge projects, skyscrapers, complex regulations. It's an incredibly difficult field in its own right.
For sure.
But the documents we have today, they show that his expertise didn't start in a Manhattan boardroom. It started decades earlier in a much grittier setting.
We're going back to the Caribbean, specifically Antigua in the early 1970s. And the mission for this deep dive is really interesting, I think. We want to understand how growing up with these, you know, extreme off-grid constraints created a very specific type of expert.
Yeah, someone who understands energy systems in a way that a modern textbook-trained installer just, they just can't.
It's the difference between learning a language in a classroom and learning it because you have to speak it to eat.
That's the perfect analogy.
So let's set the scene. Antigua, 1970s. We are not talking about a resort vacation here. No. No, not at all. The infrastructure context is vital. In the U.S., grid instability is an anomaly. It's an event. In Antigua, back then, it was a daily reality.
So brownouts, blackouts?
All the time. The utility grid was often non-existent in developing areas, or it would just go out for hours. You couldn't run a modern life, let alone a business, relying on what the state provided.
And this necessity, it drove innovation. We've got notes here on the construction of Alexis's family home. And frankly, the electrical design of this house sounds like something from a sci-fi novel, especially for that era.
He was incredibly forward-thinking. Alexis's father was building this home, and he made a structural decision that was, I mean, it was virtually unheard of. He realized that relying solely on the AC utility grid was a recipe for
failure.
Total failure. So he built two completely independent electrical networks right into the walls of the house.
Okay, hold on. I want to make sure I'm getting this and everyone listening gets this.
Go for it.
You're saying physically two different sets of wires going to different outlets all in the same room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Network one was your standard AC system, alternating current. That connected to the utility pole outside. So when the grid was up, that network power the heavy lifters, the fridge, washing machine, stuff like that.
But then there was network two.
And network two was the secret weapon. It was a DC direct current network hidden in the walls, completely separate from the grid. It was all for backup lighting, low voltage needs, critical communications.
I want to pause on the technical side of that for a second, because running a DC network through a house is not a simple thing to do.
It's a pain. Honestly, it really is.
Right. AC power is used by the grid because it travels long distances easily. DC power, it loses voltage really quickly over a link of wire. It's called voltage drop.
You've done your homework. And to make that work in a house, you can't use standard thin wire. You have to run much thicker gauge copper to get the power from the source to, say, a bedroom light without losing it all on the wall.
And that's expensive.
It's expensive. It's physically hard to pull through the studs. And it requires a level of planning that most electricians just, they don't do.
And the most wild part for me, this backup network was running before they even had solar panels.
That's the key to the whole resilience mindset. This wasn't a solar house at first. It was a battery house. They used standard automotive batteries, just lead acid batteries pulled from cars or trucks, and wired them together to power this secondary network.
So the grid goes down, the whole neighborhood goes dark, but this house just kind of shifts its metabolism.
It's the architectural equivalent of a biological survival mechanism. It prioritized critical loads decades before we had smart panels or anything computerized. It was a fundamental decision. The world might stop, but this house keeps working.
That's impressive. But obviously, running a house on car batteries has its limits. The sources show that as technology started to trickle into the Caribbean, the system evolved.
It did. And this is where we start seeing the transition to what we maybe call proto-solar. Photovoltaic tech finally became available, but we need to manage our expectations here.
We're not talking about the 400-watt sleek black panels you see today.
Oh, not even close. The specs here mention 20 to 50-watt modules.
Tiny. You could fit one in a large briefcase.
Pretty much. So you'd need a huge array of them just to power what we consider basic appliances.
And that dictated everything.
It did. But the hardware backing this up is really where that old school expertise comes in. The notes specifically mention early trace inverters.
I saw that. Trace engineering. Why is that specific brand so significant?
For any solar veterans listening, they'll know. Trace is legendary. These were transformer-based inverters. Modern inverters are mostly transformerless.
Meaning?
They use high-speed computer switching to turn DC battery power into AC. They're light, they're efficient, and they're full of delicate little silicon chips.
And a trace inverter.
A trace inverter was basically a massive coil of copper and iron. It weighed a ton. You could risk a hernia just mounting one on the wall.
So why use the heavy tech? It sounds less efficient.
Ah, because mass equals resilience. Those big iron transformers had incredible surge capacity. If you tried to start a well pump or a heavy motor, a modern inverter might just trip. The surge is too fast.
Right. It protects itself.
Exactly. A trace inverter would just grunt. The transformer would hum a little louder, and it would eat that surge and keep going.
Right.
They were built like tanks, because in an off-grid environment, there's no geek squad coming to fix it.
So Alexis grew up watching these machines work. He wasn't looking at an app on a phone. He was listening to the physical hum of a transformer.
And maybe more importantly, he was smelling the batteries.
Let's talk about that, because they upgraded from car batteries to Trojan T105s, right?
The T105 was the gold standard for deep cycle storage. But again, this isn't a lithium battery you just hang on the wall and forget for 10 years. A bank of flooded lead acid batteries is. It's like a living chemistry set.
What does the maintenance actually look like? What does that mean?
It's labor. It's getting your hands dirty. You have to regularly top them up with distilled water, because the charging process evaporates the electrolyte. You have to check the specific gravity of the acid with a hydrometer.
Which is like a turkey baster with a gauge in it.
That's a great description. And if you mess up,
bad things happen.
You're dealing with sulfuric acid. You get it on your jeans. You have holes in your jeans. You get it on the concrete floor. It eats the concrete.
We interrupt this podcast with a quick reminder. Solar systems that aren't inspected don't perform as designed. Annual inspections protect output, safety, and payback. Wadadley Solar LLC, serving the U.S., Antigua, Guyana.
If you don't equalize the charge properly, the plates sulfate and the battery just dies.
So Alexis isn't learning solar theory in a nice air-conditioned classroom. He's learning it by trying not to burn his hands while keeping the lights on.
It creates a physical relationship with your energy. When you have to manually maintain the storage, you understand the value of the energy inside it. You don't just leave the lights on, you know.
You know exactly how much work it takes to put that energy back.
Exactly. Which leads perfectly into the next theme in the documents, which I think is the most relevant for listeners today, the philosophy of enough.
The mindset shift.
It is. It's the psychological component of off-grid living. When you are on a limited system, 50-watt panels, batteries that need constant babying, you develop energy consciousness.
Which is the polar opposite of the infinite grid mindset most of us have.
Completely. In the U.S., if you turn on the AC, the dishwasher, and the dryer all at once, the grid just gives you more power.
Mm.
You pay for it, but the physics doesn't stop you.
Right.
In an off-grid scenario, if you turn all that on, the voltage sags, the inverter trips, and the lights go out. Game over.
So you become a human load manager.
You do. You look at the sky and say, okay, it's cloudy today. We can run the fans, but not the fridge defrost cycle. It's a constant subconscious calculation.
And this is a skill set that seems, I don't know, almost absent in the modern solar industry.
It's a lost art. It really is. Most installers today, they design for offset. They look at your utility bill, see you use 1,000 kilowatt hours, and build a system to match that number. They just assume the grid is always there as a safety net.
But Alexis comes from a place where there was no net.
Correct.
Yeah.
He understands prioritization. If you're designing a backup system for a client today, you don't need to back up the whole house. You need to back up the critical loads. Alexis knows how to look at a breaker box and surgically separate the knife-to-haves from the need to haves.
Which brings us to the bridge. We've established this incredible foundation in Antigua, but Alexis didn't stay there. He moves to the US. He enters the NYC market, but there's a gap in the timeline that the notes highlight as being crucial.
Right. Between the off-grid days and the high-rise commercial leadership, Alexis spent years working across multiple construction trades.
The notes list everything. Electrical fundamentals, job site coordination, safety discipline.
That generalist background is key. Because solar doesn't exist in a vacuum. It sits on a roof that's roofing and structural work. It runs through walls, it's framing, it ties into the main panel, that's heavy electrical work.
He sees the building as a complete system.
Exactly. He's a systems level thinker.
Yeah.
And in NYC commercial work, that is vital. You're dealing with ballasted racking systems so you don't puncture a roof membrane. You're dealing with wind loads on a 40-story building. You're dealing with FDNY fire pathways.
So he takes that rugged, make-it-work ingenuity from the Caribbean and applies it to literally the most regulated, code-heavy environment in the world.
It's a rare combination. Usually you get one or the other. You get the off-grid cowboy who ignores code, or you get the city engineer who can't troubleshoot without a blueprint. Alexis spans both worlds.
So let's pivot to the application. Why does this all matter to the listener right now? Most of our audience isn't building a skyscraper in Manhattan, and they're not living in 1970s Antigua.
No, but look around. We're seeing more extreme weather. We're seeing more grid instability. We have listeners who are buying rural property, maybe a cabin in the woods, or people living on islands where power costs are astronomical and the service is terrible.
Or even just people in suburbs who are sick and tired of the power going out every time the wind blows.
That's it. This is where Alexis's specific blend of experience applies. He isn't just a commercial solar guy. He's a consultant for anyone looking at rural, remote, or island energy resilience.
So if I'm building a house off-grid or I want to retrofit my home to be more resilient, what does that consultation actually look like?
Well, it starts with real versus theory.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sales reps will sell you a battery and tell you you'll run your whole house, no problem. Alexis can look at your site, your actual loads, and say, wait a minute. Realistically, based on physics, that battery will last you 3 hours if you run the AC. He'll say, if you want to survive a three-day outage, we need to completely redesign this.
That distinction between off-grid and hybrid systems seems really important, too.
It's huge. A lot of people think they want to go fully off-grid because it sounds romantic, right? No electric bill. But Alexis knows the reality involves generator maintenance, battery equalizing, and real lifestyle changes.
Because he's lived it.
He's lived it. He can help you decide if a hybrid system, where you keep the grid but have a robust backup, is actually the smarter play for you.
So it sounds like he's also the guy you call when things go wrong.
There is immense value there. Think about all the orphan systems out there. Maybe you bought a property that already has some weird solar setup, or your original installer went out of business.
Right.
Troubleshooting a custom DC system or a legacy inverter is not something your average residential electrician wants to touch.
They walk in, see the spaghetti wires, and they walk right back out.
Alexis walks in and sees a puzzle he's been solving since he was a kid. He can optimize a system, fix design errors, and help you avoid really expensive mistakes before you even pour the concrete.
It's like getting a second opinion from a specialist before you go into surgery.
That is the perfect analogy. You are performing surgery on your home's energy system. You want someone who has seen the patient survive before.
So if you're listening to this and you fall into that category, you have a remote property, an island home, or you're just a homeowner who wants a system that actually works when the grid goes down, you can talk to Alexis directly.
Yes, and this is unique. It's not a call center. You are getting direct access to the very expertise we've been discussing for this whole deep dive.
We have the number here. It's 718-704-0903. I'm going to repeat that because if you're driving, you might want to pull over or shout out your voice memo. It's 718-704-0903.
And the offer is a free initial consultation. It's just a conversation. There's no pressure. It's just straight answers. If you are wondering if your off-grid dream is physically possible, or if you suspect your installer is oversizing your system to pad the bill, give him a call.
It really is rare to find someone who has handled that massive commercial stuff, but still remembers what it's like to worry about a single amp of power.
It creates a level of honesty you just don't often find in the renewable energy industry.
So to wrap this up, we've traveled from a dual-wired house in the Caribbean all the way to the skyline of Manhattan. It's quite the arc.
It is. But the core thread, it remains the same. The technology has changed. You know, we've moved from lead acid to lithium, from heavy iron transformers to tiny silicon chips. But the logic of energy independence hasn't changed at all.
It's still about physics.
It's about physics. And it's about scarcity. You can't cheat physics.
And that leads us to our final thought for the day. We always like to leave you with something to chew on.
Here is what I want the listener to consider. We live in an era where we try to solve every problem by purchasing a product. We buy a bigger battery, we buy a smarter panel, we buy an app. But true security isn't about the hardware you buy.
It's about the software in your head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
True security comes from understanding, exactly like Alexis does, how much power you actually need to survive and how to manage that resource when the infinite supply finally cuts off. The most valuable asset in a blackout isn't a Tesla Powerwall. It's the knowledge of how to live without one if you have to.
That is a powerful place to end it. If you want to tap into that knowledge, reach out to Alexis at 718-704-0903. Thanks for diving deep with us today.
Stay resilient out there.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you found this podcast useful. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to us at info@alternativesolutions.az. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune in for future episodes.